Brother J.C. Stanlin, pastor of Providence Church in a little town in Wisconsin that I'm sure he'll be glad to pronounce for you.
Actually, we're spread over many towns in the state of Wisconsin. We meet on Sunday mornings in a little town called West Alice, which is immediately on the west side of Milwaukee. On Monday night, we either meet in the town of La Pond, or Beaver Dam, or Chester. On Tuesday nights, we meet in West Dallas again. And on Wednesday nights, we meet in Waukegan, Illinois. So, we're just in the state of Wisconsin. Now, the problem he had with the town is the town that I live in. And I will tell you what that town is. That town is Oconomowoc. You see, that's not hard to pronounce it. You know, it's a simple word. A lot of O's. Such a joy to be with you all this evening. I do want to make sure that you all know Brother Orville and Sister Kathy Lott. Stick your hands up over their feet and see them. They're members of our church, Providence Primitive Baptist Church of Wisconsin. I'm very happy that they're here to enjoy fellowship with you in these lovely services. If you would tonight turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'd like to begin reading in verse number 18. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 18. The Apostle Paul is issuing a charge to this young preacher. And he tells him, he says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy." Now I want you to notice the tender and the kind relationship that the Apostle Paul feels for this young man. He's concerned about this young man's welfare and his success in ministry. He says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee." That's a little poetry there. A little poetic, but he's saying, according to the prophecies that went before on thee, you know, the things you've heard before, the preaching of the gospel that you've heard before, the messages of the gospel that you've heard before. He says that thou mightest war a good warfare. That thou mightest war a good warfare. The Apostle Paul used warfare analogies and allegories over and over again. Soldiering, implements of battle, swords, shields, armament of different kinds. He would use battlefield tactics to illustrate the word and the will of God. So now he's telling this young preacher, you war a good warfare. Now, a good warfare is a warfare in which there's a victory. Isn't there? But now when he says to war a good warfare, Paul said of himself, he says, "I have fought a good fight." He had applied himself in the service of his God with his ultimate objective to please his Lord. Alright. Now I want you to turn with me to another passage of scripture that's found in Luke chapter 12. In verse number 32. Luke chapter 12, in verse number 32. I want you to notice the first word in this verse. Fear. Now, a soldier that goes into a hostile environment is really a fool if he's not afraid. Amen. The Lord is sending his disciples and the apostles into an environment that could be frightful. Mm-hmm. So he says to them, fear not. Now, can we agree tonight that Jesus Christ spoke with authority and with finality? Mm-hmm. So if he was telling those brethren, don't be afraid. He was telling them, don't be afraid with authority in that he was going to solve any problem that might arise that would cause them to fear. The Apostle Paul gave a list of all the physical troubles that he had. Three times he had been beaten. He had been beaten with rods. He had been stoned and left for dead. He was in perils of the water, perils of the wilderness, perils among his brethren. If there ever was a man who had a reason to fear, it was the Apostle Paul. But Jesus Christ says, fear not, little flock. He's talking to those. Now, what comes to your mind when you think about the little flock?
little band of sheep. They look so tender and so helpless and unable to defend themselves. But Jesus Christ says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom."
Amen.
You have a refuge. You have a hiding place. You have a covert from the storm. Now, we're going towards the front of the Bible, in Psalm number 85. Psalm number 85. The psalmist asked in Psalm 85 and verse number 6, he says, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" He says, "Lord, you know, are you going to build us up again? Are you going to fill us with thy spirit again? Are you going to prosper us numerically, Lord? We're in pretty good shape right now, Lord." And you know, we look at ourselves sometimes and we think that we old Baptists are in pretty bad shape. And if we compare ourselves historically, we probably are. But fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We'll take you to one other place. Well, the Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 22. The Apostle Paul was on the way to Jerusalem. He was about to lose his freedom. And he'd been warned of what would happen to him when he would go to Jerusalem. Verse number 22, the Apostle Paul says, "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit." He's going to be bound physically shortly. But he says, "Now I go bound in the Spirit." He was motivated by the power of the Spirit that constrained him into the Lord's service. He says, "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there." Now, out of that, I would like you to get this. When the Lord moves or directs you into a certain course of action in His service, do it.
Amen.
Your mind will imagine all kinds of troubles and trials and things that would bring fear to you. That's before you. But remember that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the only potentate, He said, "Fear not."
Amen.
All right? Paul says, "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." Paul says, "I've heard over and over again, but I'm headed for trouble." And you know, he had trouble physically, didn't he? But I want you to notice verse number 24. Now, listen, children of God, we are in a very special time in the history of the church. I'm absolutely convinced that we are in a very special time in the history of the church of Jesus Christ. We've had troubles. You know, we've had troubles among our own brethren. We have troubles in society. We have troubles internationally. But I believe that if God's people will obey the commandments of our Lord and submit ourselves into His service, I believe He'll prosper us again. He'll revive us again.
Amen.
I want you to notice what Paul... Now, out of this, I trust that you will meditate upon your service to your God and move forward without fear.
Amen.
Whatever needs to be done, do it. War, good warfare. Be a good soldier. Commit yourself into the service of your God. Alright? Paul says, facing that which would bring fear to him, he says, "But none of these things move me." He says, "I have an objective in life. I have a direction for the course of my life that God has given to me." He says, "And I'm staying on it. No matter what's before me, I'm staying on this course. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself." Paul says, "I put the cause and the will of my God above my very own life."
Amen.
Now, why can he say that? I believe the Apostle Paul knew without a doubt what was written in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. You know what it said there? What happens when we die, by the way? When we die, what happens to the spirit? It returns to the Father which gave it. The body returns to the dust, but the Spirit returns to the Father. You know, Paul could speak with authority. He knew what was there. Because he said, he knew a man who was caught up with to the third heaven. You know,
I'm not going to argue with you, brethren, one bit.
But you know, biblically, you know what the number three means?
All the way.
Right.
All the way. Whatever it is. Paul said, you know what? He was actually talking about himself. Right. Yeah. That little man who was caught up to the third heaven. My goodness, he saw things, experienced things that he couldn't even tell you about. You know why? Because the limitations of the laws of language would not allow him to communicate the majesty, the glory, the peace, the happiness that he experienced there.
Amen.
So Paul says, you know, my life doesn't mean anything. Matter of fact, people also say that to die is what?
Amen.
To die is gain. So he says, neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So Paul says, my objective is to serve my God. No matter the physical cost, no matter what fear or anxiety might come my way. Brother Lawrence preached a sermon last night at Little Union about Barnabas. And how Barnabas was the encourager along the way. You know, before every big battle, the commander gets his troops together and he gives them a speech to encourage them. And it's especially important if the enemy appears more powerful than they are. Would you turn with me to 2 Chronicles, chapter 32? Hezekiah was the king. Let's look first in verse number 6. Hezekiah was the king. Some dreadful things were on the horizon for Judah. Verse number 6, and he, speaking of Hezekiah, set captains of war over the people and gathered them together in him in the street of the gate of the city. And notice what he did. And spake comfortably to them, saying. Spake comfortably to them, saying. We'll get to the saying in a moment. But what I want you to know is that Hezekiah spoke comfortably. You know, fear not, little flock. What is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom? You have a place of refuge. You have a hiding place. You have a covert. Now, you ever think that you have everything lined up? You've done everything you ought to do. You checked all the little boxes and everything is fine. Look back to 2 Chronicles chapter 29, and verse number 16. Hezekiah is the king here, and the priest went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it, and brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord, into the court of the house of the Lord, and the Levites took it to carry it out abroad into the brook Kidron. They disposed of it. They cleansed the house of all of its filthiness and vulgarities. Well, you would think that everything is fine. They've got all their ducks lined up. Everything's fine now. Wouldn't you think so? Just about the time that we go back to think they've got everything lined up, Sennacherib shows up on the scene. Now come back with me to verse chapter 32 and verse number 1. There was a king. His name was Sennacherib. He was the king of Assyria. He just wreaked havoc in the northern nation Israel, just essentially wiped them out. And down in Judah, they've been hearing about this. This great and powerful king and his great army and all the disturbances that were going on in the northern nation Israel says after these things, after Hezekiah and Judah had cleaned out the temple and gotten their life back in order again. By the way, if there's any of you here tonight that stink, you know, if y'all don't put these together and take you better edit that and explain it a little bit. But if you've cleansed yourself up and you think that life is going to be a breeze from then on, forget it. Because just about the time that you get everything just right, get your life cleaned up, you join the church, No more problems, no more trials, no more anxiety. That's when trouble really began.
Amen. Amen.
But remember what the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, said, fear not. Mm-hmm. All right, this is what happens. Now the king of Israel, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. Boy, we could spend a lot of time with that thought. Mm-hmm. There are folks who like to win your cities for themselves.
Amen.
Who's the king of this city, by the way? It ain't Glenn Fletcher, I'll tell you that. The Lord Jesus Christ himself. He's the King of Kings. These cities belong to him, my friend. You know, I'm going to stretch the scripture just a little bit, not much. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 6, "All that the Father giveth me." Now, what's the rest of it? I didn't hear you. I sure will. He says, "I came to do my Father's will, and this is my Father's will. Of all that he has given me, I should what?" Did he lose any? What about his fenced cities, my friends? Do you think that your fenced city, your kingdom, your church, do you think that Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, can fail in his defense of the city?
No.
Well, let's see. "And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come, and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem." Now, what would be your state of mind? You've heard reports of what he's done in the northern nation of Israel. You've been getting these reports on a daily basis of Sennacherib's successes in battle. What would be going through your mind? "And Sennacherib, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men." Now this is Hezekiah. "He took counsel with his men and his princes and mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains which were without the city, and they did help him." Now, Hezekiah, the first thing that he did, my friends, is cut off support for the adversary.
Amen.
Now, how is it that you can cut off support for the adversary today? You're instructed to come to your heart and be a separate people.
Amen.
Don't encourage the adversary.
Amen.
Don't give the adversary of your graces.
Amen.
You commit yourself wholly, mind and body, your spirit, you commit yourself into the service of your God.
Amen.
Verse number 4. "And there was gathered much people," what?
Yes.
My friends, it's time that God's people gather themselves together.
Amen.
That we stand together, we sing together, we pray together, we preach together, we worship together, and we love each other.
Amen.
So Hezekiah got his people together. It's time, my friends, if we want to see revival among the churches of Jesus Christ, we're going to have to get ourselves together.
Amen.
We got to get our focus right. We must see our objective clear. It's not to serve man, not to serve the will of man, the glory of man, but that of Jesus Christ in him only.
Amen.
"There was gathered together much people together, who stopped all the fountains and the brooks that ran through the midst of the land, saying, Why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water?" Now listen to this. Also he strengthened himself. Strengthened himself. If you're going to prepare yourself for battle, my friends, in the service of your God, what are you going to do? Now, I know we're speaking out of order here, but Paul did it, so I can do it. How is it you're going to strengthen yourself against the day of battle? You're going to take out the Word of God. You're going to apply yourself to study. You're going to commit as much of it to memory as you possibly can. You're going to learn what it means, and you're going to learn how to employ it in your life,
Amen.
In your church, and in your family, and in your community. Also, he strengthened himself. You want to strengthen yourself? Learn the Bible. Employ the Bible. Also, he strengthened himself and built up all the walls that was broken down. My friends, that's a week's worth of preaching right there. There's walls that have been broken down. The principal one that I want to mention tonight is the wall of the knowledge of the Word of God.
Amen.
It's imperative that we learn and obey the Word of our God.
Amen.
And where there are breaches in the wall, we must repair them.
Right.
So, Also, he strengthened himself and built up all the wall that was broken, and raised it up to the towers, and another wall without, and repaired Milo in the city of David, and made dots. He prepared himself weapons of warfare. From that point, we can go over to Ephesians chapter 6 and spend the rest of the evening there, but we won't do that. And shields. Notice what he said. Darts and shields in what? Plenty. Plenty. He prepared himself in abundance for war. Verse number 6. And he set captains of war over the people and gathered them together. He assembled his people as a unit together, trained together, prepared together, worked together, equipped together to him in the street of the gate of the city. And what did he do? He spake comfortably to them, saying,
let's see what he said. Now, I'm going to tell you something before we read this. If you move forward with zeal in the service of your God, the flesh is going to fear.
Right.
I can testify from experience.
Amen.
But before we read the rest of it, I want to tell you something. About 14 months ago, my family and I moved to the state of Wisconsin. There were three primitive Baptists up there that I knew at that time. There were primitive Baptists. In 14 months, the Lord has grown that three to 20. To 20. Last Sunday, we received another member. There was one couple that visited us last Sunday who had not visited us before. On Monday night, in our Monday night Bible study, we had nine that had never attended a primitive Baptist church before, as far as I know. When we left in the state of Wisconsin, I only had a vague idea as to how we would make it in any respect. It's obvious that I haven't lost any weight. Well, facing the trials ahead of them in the service of their God, Hezekiah says, be strong.
Amen.
Now, how do you just be strong? Just be strong. Not only that, he says, be courageous.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you just be that way? Then he goes on to say, be not afraid, nor dismayed for the king of Assyria. He never told them, don't believe all those reports you heard. He never told them that big army you see out there on the hill across the valley is just a facade. But he told them, he says, you be strong and be courageous. Be not afraid, nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. He never told them that there wasn't a powerful army out there.
Right.
Four. For there be more with us than with him.
Amen.
Now, let me ask you this question. Do you think that if they'd have counted man for man, that there was more in Jerusalem than there was on the hill out there?
No, sir.
So was Hezekiah lying to them?
No, sir.
There was more with Judah than there was with the Assyrians.
Amen.
Now, Hezekiah explains it. With him is an arm of flesh. He's got the chariots, he's got the swords, he's got the spears, he's got the darts, he's got the armament, he's got all of those things. With him is the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us.
Amen.
The battle is won, my friends.
Amen.
Hezekiah said, don't be afraid. You just do the job that your Lord has sent you to do. The battle is already won.
Amen.
He says, and to fight our battles, this God is going to fight our battles, and the people, notice this, I want you to do this. I want to encourage you to be full of zeal and to carry. Go home and tell thy friends how great things the Lord has done for you.
Amen.
Be prepared to explain the graces of God in your life and your heart and your mind. Tell them why you have such hope. Don't be bashful, don't be afraid.
Amen.
Everywhere you go, my friends, you ought to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ on the tip of your tongue.
Amen.
Because I'm convinced that our communities, I'm convinced that our cities, our towns, our grocery stores, our schools, our workplaces are filled with those who yearn for what you have.
Amen.
This
Amen.
Night. Hearts broken because they stink it.
Mm-hmm.
Hearts broken because there is no hope, my friends. You ought to be prepared to tell them, come and see a man that knows everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This man can raise the dead to life again.
Yeah.
This man can make the blind see. This man can make the deaf, the dumb to talk, the deaf to hear.
Right. Amen.
Come and see a man. As the guy says, and the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, the king of Judah. My prayer to God is that you can rest yourselves upon the words of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When he says, fear not, little flock. Oh, you look so frail from the natural view. When I look upon you and see the glory of your Lord and your Master sitting upon you, I'm going to testify to you that there is not a battle in the service of Jesus Christ that you can't win.
Amen.
Now, how do I know that? Because Hezekiah said so. Well, let's look at what happened. In chapter 32 and verse number 20, I'm skipping a lot of good stuff. But let's go right directly to verse number 21. We got to get verse number 20. They had a prayer meeting, folks.
Yeah.
That's what they did. And verse number 20, and for this cause Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah son of Amos prayed and cried to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
They had a prayer meeting, folks. You suppose that the Lord would hear them?
Yeah.
Let's see. And the Lord sent an angel,
mm-hmm.
his messenger, which cut off all the mighty men of valor and the leaders and the captains in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned with shame of face to his own land. And when he was come into the house of his God, they that came forth of his own bowels, his own children, my friends, slew him there with the sword. Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, king of Assyria, and from the hand of all other, and guided them on every side. Do we have a mighty God or what?
Amen.
We have a God of deliverance.
Amen.
We have a God that can win the battles that we think are ours. If you're in the service of your God, my friends, your battles are His battles.
Amen.
Can you understand why Jesus Christ would say, you're not? Can you understand why the Apostle Paul would say, war, a good warfare? Can you understand the case of war? Will you not revive us again? The task just looks too ominous for us, Lord. And you know it is without yourself. By yourself.
That's right.
Paul said, I can do all things
mm-hmm.
through Christ, which strengtheneth me. May God bless you, is my prayer.
Amen. Amen.